Good afternoon, everyone. It's Dr. Nigro again with our next episode of Psychology Unplugged. Thank you to all of our listeners who have been contacting me through Psychology Today, Psychology Unplugged at Outlook.com. I really appreciate all of your feedbacks and comments and suggestions for topics. Today we're going to tackle a very relevant topic that kind of transcends any discipline. It's more about humanity. We're going to talk about suicide. And there was a recent suicide by a Chicago police officer, as you know where I'm from. And I'm very proud and grateful to have my brother, Rick, who is a sergeant in the Chicago Police Department, be a guest speaker. So I'd like to introduce Rick at this time. Rick, how have you been?
I'm doing just fine. Hanging in there. You know, enjoying a nice spring day, you know, in the mid-50s, 60s here in Chicago.
Well, you're lucky it's freezing here.
Yeah, you know, so it definitely isn't here. It's, you know, very nice and looking forward to summer. But hearing that we might get a little bit of snow in the next, like, week and a half, 2 weeks, which just, you know, doesn't bode well for me.
No, I hate snow. Always hated that. I can deal with the cold, not the snow.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't like it, you know, yet we're born and raised in the Midwest and we stay here our whole lives complaining every winter. You know, looking to get away to the warm climates, but, you know, it's easier to just complain than pack up and move.
Even though we expect it every year, no, it comes every year.
That's true, but...
All right, so Rick, what happened with this recent suicide that prompted you to kind of address the city of Chicago?
Well, you know, I'll actually have 27 years on the job in the 2nd of May, which is, you know, just around the corner. And throughout my career, I've been on the job and been party to assisting with, you know, more officer suicides than I care to think of. And there was one, I don't know if it was this year or, no, it wasn't this year. It was actually last year. I wanted to write a letter, and I sat down and started to, and I just never did. And this one, there was something about it that just affected me in a manner that I just, you know, over my career, I just couldn't sit back anymore, because the amount of stress that's placed upon law enforcement officers now has never been felt before on a national level, on local levels. We're being asked to do things that pretty much border on almost impossible. You see, there's all these movements to defund the police. There's more movements to talk about how bad we are than how good we are and how we need to say thank you to the officers. And doing that, if you do that, you make them feel human. You personalize it. I can speak for not only myself, but the officers that I supervise, because I'm a supervisor. They feel like they're not treated as though they're human, as though they have feelings, as though they have emotions. And I look at it and I ask myself, what was so bad? How deep a dark place was this officer in that the only light that he could find was some suicide? It bothered me. So I did something that probably, you know, was a little harder than most things I do. I, you know, called out our superintendent and our mayor. And I, you know, told him, I think we need to do something, because clearly the way the department's operating, it's not working. It's not a new problem, and it's becoming a bigger problem. With more than 800,000 policemen nationwide, this year alone, there's been over 55 officer suicides.
Is there a common methodology that they commit suicide by?
Well, I mean, a police officer, you know, we have... because a weapon is readily accessible, it's, you know, typically the reason. You know, a lot of people contemplate suicide, but they don't have the means.
Right.
And what happens is, you know, you contemplate suicide, you may look around, and by the time you realize you have nothing to use, that episode, that manic episode, it, you know, passes. It doesn't fix whatever the issue is, but you don't have the means. Where a police officer, it's there and it's immediate. And there's been a lot of studies where, you know, based on letters that officers have written, they really didn't want to do it, but we have the means there.
Do you think there were a lot of warning signs prior to these officers committing suicide that went unnoticed?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are. because after somebody commits suicide, you start thinking, you know, how was he acting? How was she acting? What did I miss? What didn't I see? Because there's a lack of training. Because police, we're police officers. We're not social workers. We're not psychologists. We're not psychiatrists. We're not trained to see, you know, red flags. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of things, you know, if you go back in time, because I know I have, and I can think of, you know, several individuals, you know, I remember noticing a little bit of a change in their behavior. Maybe they talked a little bit different. Maybe they started coming to work late every day. So, you know, they are there. It's just, you know, we need better training to, you know, maybe, you know, do something, because even if we prevent one officer from doing it, we're doing something in the right direction.
What kind of training do you think needs to be implemented for police officers?
You know, I don't know, because that's outside my expertise. But, you know, I may mention, you know, maybe each police district has a psychologist on staff. That's in each and every police district. In Chicago here, I know the Chicago Teachers Union, they mandate not only a nurse in every school, they mandate a psychologist. So if children need them, they're there. And, you know, if we had maybe that, you know, it might encourage an officer that's not feeling too good or maybe had a bad day, you might go to the psychologist, because they're readily available. It's not like going home, calling them, making an appointment, and fitting it into your day. They're already there on site, so it's better, it's readily accessible and much easier to do.
Do you think being in a position of authority where you carry a badge and a gun would kind of hinder someone's willingness to want to divulge their weaknesses?
Well, I mean, there's certain stigma attached to it, because, you know, we're the police. You know, we're supposed to be big and strong, and, you know, we're not supposed to be weak. We're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to fix your problems and take control. So I know when I first started my job, you know, more than 26 years ago, you really didn't ever mention that you weren't feeling good mentally, or, you know, were having problems or were having issues.
What would happen?
Well, as time moved on, you know, it's for me personally, you know, seeing that nothing's different, we all are shocked. Oh, did you hear so-and-so committed suicide? Oh, this is tragic. You know, you have a funeral and, you know, you move on and, you know, it passes, and nobody really addresses the cause of it. You know, the cause and effect. Something is causing police officers to commit suicide. In Chicago, the federal government did a report, and Chicago police officers are 60% more likely to commit suicide than any other police agent.
Did they figure out why?
They didn't figure out why, but when you think of it, we're 60% more likely to commit suicide.
On the job or like after retirement?
Just Chicago police officers are themselves, compared to every other population, every other demographic, anywhere else in the country. And if you look at that, and I, you know, from what I've seen and been party to over my life or my career, this last officer's suicide, I have to say something, because otherwise I feel like my bosses in the city wasn't really doing much. They haven't humanized us, and the officers feel it. It's starting to become an actual physical feeling. Yeah, it's not a thought. For me, it's a physical feeling of just a weight on my body, and it takes its toll. And this last one pushed me kind of over the edge.
When you say police officers aren't humanized, what do you mean by that?
Well, nationally we see, you know, politically what's going on, you know, very, you know, uncharted waters for, you know, the world and the country. A lot of the laws being enacted, you know, are tying our hands. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, the criminals are being let out. Somebody, you know, you spend a lot of time catching, and you look at him, and the officer's doing his paperwork still, and, you know, and the criminal is being, you know, let out of jail. That is demoralizing. And then you don't have your city backing you up. And we're asked, a big thing now is we're learning they want more de-escalation. The sanctity of life is more important. It always has been. But now these are catch phrases, and the media picks up on it. And now the masses, the people, every situation a police officer goes to, first thing is they didn't de-escalate. Well, maybe you couldn't de-escalate because a police officer, as you work and over time, you develop, you know, experience, life experience as an officer. I can go to a job and know in about 3 seconds whether I'm able to de-escalate or not. I don't have to take, you know, 20 minutes to figure this out. You know whether you can or not. And if I take an action and it's not the action that is what's expected by the media and the masses, I'm the one that takes the fallout. I'm vilified, and it's unfair. And that's where I see it's taking a physical toll on officers. There's a lack of appreciation nationwide, and there's definitely an attack on policemen. There's people will fight us and don't even, it's not even a thought.
What do you think the expectation is then that a police officer should do?
Well, we all have rules and regulations that we have to live by, and there's certain rules in society that we have to live by. And that's where, you know, a lot of the problem are is, you know, society is changing the game in the middle of it. You know, a person is having a crisis, or, you know, there's a domestic in their house, or somebody's out of, you know, their, you know, mentally challenged son is out of control. And they think of it this way. They pick up a phone, they talk to a stranger, and they say, please send me a stranger to come and fix my family's problems. And I, the police officer, arrive to a volatile situation, and I rely on my experience and my training, and I take action, and I try to de-escalate, I try to protect life, and when it's all over and done with, you know, this individual may have been injured, it may have been a fight, may have been a struggle. And in the day of social media, it's on YouTube, it's all over the internet, and everybody's saying the police beat him for no reason, and it's the police fault. You know, we're human, okay? I didn't just arbitrarily pick your house out of the phone book and come to it. You called me, and I did the best that I could in the short time frame I that was allowed me. I have zero family history of what's going on here. How could we know what's going on? We do it the best we can.
So what are the shortcomings that you have issue with?
Well, it's not so much shortcomings. It's just we as policemen are expected to be infallible and autonomous creatures, and that's not true. And every job that we handle, you know, you go to school and they train you in an antiseptic environment that's controlled. In the real world, it's fluid. It changes. You know, emotions go up, the emotions go down. People are violent, they relax, and we go along with that as a police, but society and the media and our bosses and the politicians, it's a black and white set of rules, and if you deviate from them, the police officer's the villain and made wrong. And that's where the stress comes in. And that's where officers that, you know, have mental health issues, or because they've seen too much, the cumulative effect of, I know when I got on a job, you know, everything was, you know, it was rainbows and, you know, sunshine. I wasn't bothered by it. This was great. I was, it was cops and robbers. We're going to chase the bad guy, and I'm going to catch him, and I'm going to be the hero. Well, 26 and a half years later, or 27 years later, the violence that I've seen, the dead bodies, the random acts of violence, the shootings, the victims, cumulatively, it gets to me. And, you know, I've never really had an outlet to talk to anybody. Departments don't really dedicate any time to it, because if you do, it costs money, and you allocate the resources elsewhere and think, you know, go do your job, don't worry about it, and then I'm supposed to take my uniform off, go home, and be a family man. You can't shut it off like that.
Do police officers often, like, decompress to each other to, you know, like, just vent and get the day over with? And
I'm not going to say they decompress and vent. You know, we'll all complain and we'll commiserate with each other. But, you know, that's why there's such a high incidence of alcohol abuse, drug abuse, domestic, with policemen.
But why do you think suicide, though? Why is that the end result?
You know, nobody can answer that, because nobody knows what's in the head of the person that, you know, commits suicide. But we can look at what could lead up to it, the stressors involved that can lead up to get to that point.
Like what type of stressors?
The stressors of the job and the extreme lack of appreciation. You know, a thank you, you know, you're doing a good job. We know how hard this is, goes a long way. So as a parent, when you have children, you praise them from the first time they learn how to crawl until they're walking across the stage of their college graduation. And you know, you give somebody praise and, you know, just kind words. It means more than anything because you feel appreciated. Everybody wants to have somebody love them and appreciate them. And policemen, it's just assumed it's a job. We pay you, shut up and do it.
Is it a thank you from, like, the public or thank you from, like, higher administration that would be more relevant?
Well, I mean, the thanks to obviously should come from everybody, but, you know, at the very least, those that you work for, our frontline supervisors, our bigger bosses, our politicians, our aldermen, you know, they don't, you know, we don't feel appreciated. I don't feel appreciated. But yet, every day I get up, when time comes to work, people don't understand it. We still put our uniform on and we continue to do the job, no matter how difficult it is, because it's a job and profession we chose.
So what do you think is going to come of these letters you wrote to the superintendent and the mayor?
Well, I mean, here in Chicago and, you know, just within my job, there's certain rules and regulations that I have to abide by. And the message that I'm putting out there, nobody will ever say what I've done is wrong. The vessel of transmission may have stepped over some of the rules and regulations of what I should have, can and can't do. But if somebody can't start the conversation somewhere, there has to be one voice. You know, we have approximately 13,000 policemen, and I've had a number of people say, Rick, do you realize you're the only person that had the nerve to do this? Because I didn't think of it this way. No. I said, no, Rick. 13,000 people are aware of how policemen kill themselves. You, just a lonely sergeant working at the airport on midnights. Nobody even knows you exist or sees you. You've caused uproar in the city with a letter that you wrote. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we get complacent and comfortable. Maybe we got to rattle the cage. You know, it's the people, you know, in defense of the superintendent and the mayor, I understand they're busy with millions of other things. COVID, the riots that we've had in the city, the civil unrest, economics, you know, homelessness. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with them saying, hey thanks, Sarge. You know, we got a little busy here. Thanks for bringing it to my attention.
So, Ricky, would you say that most Chicago police officers would espouse the same view that you do? Just you took the step forward to say it. It's a shared view.
Well, I mean, I've received, you know, honestly, you know, hundreds of responses from friends and policemen I didn't know, and policemen from around the country that, you know, reached out, you know, how they, you know, got my information or what. I haven't had one person not agree with me wholeheartedly and thank me for being that voice. I've had several different individual families who lost loved ones that were officers to suicide thanking me. Not to put a voice to it, but to say, you know, their loved one was something. They were human. They weren't just a policeman. They were a human being. They were mothers, brothers, fathers, sisters, aunts, uncles. They put a uniform on like you do at Halloween, a costume, and we go out. And when we go out, what happens is people see that costume and everything it represents. Back 50 years, 100 years, it's represented authority and oppression. They don't know me, the person, Rick. I don't know them, the person I'm going to help. And that's where we have to get to be a better situation where they can learn that, okay, the police are here. Hopefully that officer that's wearing that costume today is a nice guy and will take time and help us. And then when we do a good job and, you know, on a political level, you know, and tell your officers, hey, guys, good job. You know, that's all I'm really trying to, well, I'm trying to, the main accomplishment would be to hopefully prevent any policeman from ever committing suicide again. But I know that not to be true. And I know another policeman will do it because just 2 days ago, we had another unfortunate occurrence where an officer died by suicide again. Less two
after the other guy?
Pardon me?
After the other guy?
After the reason I wrote the letter was an officer committed suicide.
Right.
2 nights ago, another officer took his own life by suicide. He had a family, a wife, 3 children. And, you know, again, what was so dark in his life, even his own children, wasn't enough of a light. The light was suicide.
Do you think it's the job itself or the impact of social media where everything is so transparent that...
It's a combination of both. The job itself, 100%. Because, you know, I wish my brain could forget what my eyes have seen. And I've told many people that, and they don't look at it that way. I said, no, I do. I can't forget what I've seen and do it for 27 years, 30 years, 35 years, and try to tell you that it didn't affect you. And I can say honestly and wholeheartedly, if I could go back in my life again, I mean, I wouldn't change the things that, you know, my daughters and family and stuff, but I wouldn't be the police. There isn't enough money to give me to be the police. And, you know, and the lack of appreciation and the immediacy of every incident that occurs is instantaneously on YouTube. Facebook Live.
Do you think if there was more acknowledgement or appreciation that there would be less need to be depressed or commit suicide?
I think it would make a tremendous difference in officers' overall well-being, definitely. Because at least now it's like, you know, they acknowledge you're doing a job. Thank God you're doing it. Because if you weren't, I don't know who would. And we know how difficult it is, and you know that's where we're sorely lacking as a society, letting people understand just how difficult it is. We you know, yes, most of our job is spent just driving around and, you know, being ready. But, you know, that is the job. We're a deterrent, and then when you need us and call, we're the first people there.
Do you think any change will come out of what you've done?
Well, I mean,
you've shed light on a problem, but I mean, it's a pretty serious problem.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What'd you say?
I'm saying, do you think any change will come out of this problem?
Because it's
a, you know, suicide is a serious problem.
There's definitely going to be a change and some conversation. I mean, our superintendent put out a statement. He's already started he's already putting together like a commission of individuals. He's hired a woman that's an expert in the field. Yesterday, I follow you know, Mayor on Twitter, and she actually put out a pretty good statement. And it kind of, you know, the way I interpret it is she took it to heart. And within the body of the statement, this is what she said. In recent memory, the department suffered through other similar losses of life, but this time must be different. These wrenching tragedies must be taken as a call to action. So she says, this time must be different.
Well, I'm proud of you as my brother and as a police officer and just a civil servant, because it takes a lot of guts to, one, write a letter, then go on TV and talk about stuff, because you never know what you're jeopardizing. So I think we could have many more conversations about police officers, especially in this world of polarization and, you know, identification with different ideologies. So, Ricky, I'm really grateful and thank you for coming on the program. Hopefully our listeners can get some insight into what it's like to be in the real world of a big city police officer. Feel free to contact me again, as you guys have, through Psychology Today, psychologyunplugoutlook.com. I look forward to hearing from you guys. I appreciate the comments, the feedback, suggestions. As always, like I say, become independent of good opinions of other people.
I want to say one more thing before I leave you. Suicide is probably the worst issue that we face as the police, because it's final. There is nothing after that. There's a person, a human being that no longer exists, and others that are left behind to pick up those pieces. I've been through 2 divorces. The job has affected. It's definitely been a reason those occurred. I've been through a lot of other life issues and difficulties. And, you know, I would look forward to coming on to, you know, let people don't understand. You know, and it's something nobody ever really knows what a policeman do. We know what the cashier at Walmart does. We know what the grocery store clerk that's putting the produce out does. We know what the truck driver down the highway does. But nobody really knows what the police do. They think, honestly, we the police go out and kill people because that's what we do.
Or what you go through.
Or what we go through. But, you know, I again, you know, in combination with the suicide, I want to humanize us as just people. And it's the profession we chose and probably one of the most difficult. And I'll leave you with the saying. There's a Latin saying when translated, it says this: who is looking after those who are looking after us?
Well, that's not Latin, but it's English, and I hope you guys take that to heart.
Latin, it's a translation from Latin.
Be well, everybody. We'll be in touch next week. Take care. Bye-bye.